This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Well, we didn't get the trifecta, Michael. The Rockies looked good. Everything looked good for a moment. The Rockies are up 8-4, but lost. The Nuggets didn't show up. Not one positive that I can take from that game. I mean, you're just missing shots, first off. Joker didn't look right. Jamal disappeared. Nobody else really stepped up. And Aaron Gordon's absence. We'll find out what the status is of AG and Peyton Watson going forward for this series. This series might be short. The Avs won, though. The Avs, we had some goals in this game. Finally had some goals in this game. We'll get into all of it. Unpacking it. NFL draft was last night. There was a surprise pick, and there were a million trades. The whole show starts now. Surprised they scored 96 points. That's the Nuggets I'm talking about. For those of you participating, Denver loses game three last night, 113-96. The Timberwolves pretty much got a 20-point lead and never gave in. Held on to it throughout. The Nuggets, I don't even think it's fair to say they slightly teased a comeback. They started the game. What was the number? It was just like 2 of 17 or something. It was something ridiculous. They scored 11 points. 11 points in the first period. Minnesota only scored 25. I thought there were moments the defense looked better, and then there were moments where it looked worse. Now, you get the news a few hours before the game that Aaron Gordon's not going to be playing. That was a huge blow because I thought if anyone was going to respond to the Jaden McDaniels comments and honestly even Chris Finch's comments throughout the series, I thought it was going to be AG. And without him, you just it screws up the entire lineup. You know, I like Spencer Jones. That's a great story. But starting him and then obviously you're going to give Julian Strother a lot of minutes, 14 minutes for him. And Zeke Nagy got 6 minutes. You know, you're not expecting to see Strother or Zeke Nagy in any meaningful minutes in the playoffs. And fortunately for them, unfortunately maybe for the team, you asked a lot of those guys coming in last night. I mean, there were times that lineup, I was like, that's not a solid lineup right there. I mean, to start the second, it was Zeke Nagy, it was Bruce Brown, Tim Hardaway Jr., Julian Strother, I think Spencer Jones. I mean, okay, we start with Joker. We start there. I mean, Joker just didn't have it. And I know we've been asking the question, should he stop shooting threes? He was 2 of 10 from three. He's been bad in this series from the three-point line. But yet he keeps shooting them. A lot of times I look at that like, yeah, Joker's looking for the easy opportunity here. There were times where he shot it shortly into the shot clock. They cross over half court, and Joker's firing it up. He wasn't good last night. He had 27 points. I mean, the stat line says, okay, it's not a bad game. 27 points, 15 boards, only 3 assists. Joker talked about it. You know, hey, they weren't helping Rudy Gobert last night. So it was one-on-one. And if Joker can't win more battles against Rudy Gobert, then they're not going to help. And that means you're not going to find those openings. That's part of Joker's game, is he's so lethal on the offensive side of the basketball that he does demand extra attention, and that's part of the reason he's able to make the passes that he does. Because he's such a threat to score. when he's not a threat to score. And again, 27 points. I'm done saying it. Joker's that good where bad games still get you about 30 points. Superstars do that. And I'm seeing everything online last night. I mean, we're talking about overhauling this team, even potentially trading, just resetting this entire roster, including Joker. I mean, that's crazy talk to me. Joker's a nugget until he decides to hang it up or doesn't want to re-sign a contract. But the rest are certainly in question. I mean, how long can Aaron Gordon go? It's been a steady decline for him since the Nuggets won a championship because of health. So that's certainly a worthy conversation. Christian Brown, who you just resigned to a pretty significantly big contract in the offseason, he gave you 24 minutes and 2 points last night. He was very passive. Even when he would get the ball down in the paint under the basket, he's pump faking, and he pump fakes so many times, he allows the defense to come down there and block it away. This was a disappointing effort all around by Denver. I thought David Adelman looked a little flustered over there. I mean, as much as we complained about Michael Malone and his rage timeouts, Adelman is very reluctant to call timeouts when Minnesota's going on run after run after run. The game evened out, you know, for Denver at least, you know, 11 points in the first. Like I said, I'm not projecting them to score 96 after that, but they were able to at least get to the free throw line. Joker got to the free throw line 11 times. Certainly had some of those irritating flop calls or whatever that I don't love. This was, there's no way of getting around it. This was a really disappointing effort in a game three, not only just a game three, but the fact that you have the Timberwolves just teeing off on you in the media. Jaden McDaniels, we documented that, his clips a lot, should have been bulletin board material. I thought that first possession, I'm thinking, man, Denver is coming out really aggressive defensively. They look like the message was received. And then time after time, they go down the other side, just can't score. And that's part of it. The ball just was not going in. Jamal was 0 for 5 from the 3. Cameron Johnson was 0 for 3. Christian Brown, 0 for 1. 0 for 4 in field goals. He just had the free throws. He was 2 of 4 from the free throw line. That's all he had. He had 2 free throws in that game last night. Tim Hardaway Jr. was 3 of 8. Bruce Brown, 4 of 7. Julian Strother, 2 of 7. They were 28 out of 82, 34% last night. And from the 3, they were 8 of 32. It's not like Minnesota shot much better. In fact, they didn't. Well, they did by 1%. They were 9 of 34, but they shot 48% from the field. That's going to win you a lot of basketball games. And now we have conversations on whether or not this is the future, whether or not this is the right future for the Nuggets. I mean, you make all these changes last year right before the season, and we think, well, you don't go that aggressive and make that kind of a change unless you're pretty sure that the guy running the show, Michael Malone, is in fact the problem. And I'm guessing he was. And I don't know if it's David Adelman. I mean, he can't make the shots. He can't force guys to play better defense. There's just a lot of issues with a game like that. Big Hub says, Brady, when I'm hearing, it's time to cheer for the Hawks. We're not there yet, Big Hub. I mean, the series is 2-1. You find a way to win tomorrow night somehow, and you know it's as if you didn't. You take back home court advantage. I think it's possible. I think there are big questions whether or not, you know, is Aaron Gordon or Peyton Watson going to be able to play in this game? Here's David Adelman talking about the status of Aaron Gordon and Peyton Watson in this series, if they're actually even going to be able to play. David Adelman, yes, the head coach of the Nuggets.
You mentioned the size in this matchup. You know, you'd miss Gordon and Watson in any matchup, but particularly how much are you missing what they do?
Yeah, we are. And I, you know, it's just when they Randall's ball to Nail or Reed, whoever it is, we just have to be much more active to come for the ball. you know, especially if it's not DiVincenzo's the next closest man. We did it a few times. We can do a better job, and I'll admit it. Like, you know, you're gambling if you play small against their team, but you're hoping that translates offensively, that you're going to get better shots. And we did not do that tonight in the first half. And then that led to, you know, honestly, a lot of mismatches down there with the bigs, the way they play. So if I have to, you know, I'll continue to play a Zeke, a Spencer, you know, guys that can battle in there a little bit more. But again, at some point, that small lineup has to click offensively. If they can, we can attack the two big lineups they play with.
I'm sure you'll have more answers probably tomorrow, but is there any optimism for either of those two?
No information tonight. You know, I think they'll come in, see the trainers in the morning, obviously. They'll meet in the afternoon, so that'll give me a chance to, you know, have half the day to wait and get a solid answer from the training staff. Because I do think, out of fairness to the team, we want to be prepared for who's going to play that next game. You know, I think that's it just helps you, because you guys know the expectation of what's going to be that night, as opposed to today where we were scrambling a little bit. But it happens in the league. It's just the way it was.
So Zeke Nagy is a better option than Jonas Valanciunas? I mean, the bigs are running the show last night for Minnesota. I mean, Rudy Gobert, even the shots he was missing, he was getting in there. Defensively, he was good. Julius Randle was good. Naz Reid, you know, not a lot of points, but they were messing up everything Denver was trying to do. And you're getting blitzed, man. You're losing 25-11 at the end of one. You're out. You don't have Gordon. You don't have Peyton Watson. You mean to tell me there's not at least a stretch of game where you throw Jonas out there, even pair him maybe with Joker? And I know that hasn't really worked, that side of it. But when you're losing like that and there's no spark, I think that you have to say, okay, this isn't working, so let's try something that we haven't been trying much of in this series, and that's throw Jonas out there. Zeke Nagy's not a guy that's in the regular rotation, unless there's injuries. So I did have a problem with that. That was one of the issues that I had. I mean, we're going to throw out a small lineup when Joker's out there, and you're gonna have Zeke be your center? I didn't get that. And this is where I'm frustrated with Adelman a bit, specifically on, he just said it. The bigs are dictating the game for Minnesota on the defensive side of the ball especially. And, you know, you put another big body in there, maybe that takes some attention away from Joker. But this was not a good solution. Smitty texting in on the First Advantage text line. If you guys want to text us, 888-530-0043. Smitty says the issue for the Nuggets is they do not have a true difference maker after Joker. Well, I mean, they do, and that is Jamal Murray. He is, when he's on, he's a difference maker. And this was the best season he's ever had. But he's doing the thing again. He's doing the, I'm really good one game, and I'm average another night, and I'm a no-show the next, and maybe goes off Saturday, I don't know, but he couldn't get open. Smitty says Gordon's legs are failing him, which happens as athletes hit their 30s. Brown is just a guy. Johnson is the fifth wheel and a non-factor. The key issue remains that Murray is MIA far too often. He's not fully engaged, but hey, at least he's an all-star. They've been in decline since the 23 run, and it's obvious they need an overhaul to the roster other than Jokic. But I mean, to say that Murray's not a difference maker this year, especially more often than not, he was. He is a difference maker, but he wasn't last night, and he wasn't in game two, and that's a problem. And that's why it is a worthwhile discussion of, do you overhaul the entire roster? You know, they started it last year. MPJ said it at the beginning of last season. If we don't win a championship, then we're probably going to split this thing up. Well, he was the first to go. And it could potentially be Jamal. No, Smitty's saying stop. Like, I'm not going to ignore what I saw a year. This was the best season you've had with Jamal Murray. It's well documented on this show that I've said it a million times. My frustration with Jamal is that I know he can be that guy. He's just not. And in some seasons, he's 50-50 on whether he's going to be an impact player. This season, he was more of like a 75% guy. And now in the playoffs, he's less than 50. And that's a problem. Signing Christian Brown to the long-term deal turned out to be a mistake. As we sit here today, I'm just not seeing him get any better. You know, from his rookie year when he was asked to play a lot of minutes as a rookie, he did great. His next year was okay. Good enough, I guess, for Denver to think that he has enough potential to sign a long-term contract. I was iffy on that from the beginning of the season. I was iffy. Not saying I was against it, so I'm not going to be I'm not going to go back and say, oh, no, that was... But hindsight being what it is, he hasn't lived up to that contract. I know he got hurt. He hasn't dealt with injuries much in his career. I don't think he's really dealt with injuries at all in his career. So that was certainly a wrench thrown at his game this year. But if his contract's going to be the reason you can't bring back Peyton Watson, that's going to turn out to be a pretty bad deal. And it's going to feel a lot like the Michael Porter Jr. deal. I mean, you traded MPJ so you would have depth. And they have depth. But they didn't show up. Nobody showed up last night. Not one player, I feel comfortable saying, showed up in a game where after game one, Chris Finch was going in on you. After game two, it was Jaden McDaniels. And I'm here, Joker's complimentary of their team and how good Rudy Gobert is. And I get it, man. It's all compliments from Denver. But there's not a nastiness right there. There's nothing going on. And I thought Denver's playing coy, they're not gonna talk back. They're gonna let their play on the floor do their talking, and that didn't happen. And I'm not gonna be that guy that sits here and says, well, if Michael Malone's the coach, it's different. No, because we've seen similar results. It was Michael Malone's Denver Nuggets that lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves in seven, that gave up a 20-point lead. Listen, man, they're capable of beating Minnesota. They showed it in game one. They were stomping Minnesota in the first quarter. And in game two, I think they got a little too loose. I think they were having a little too much fun. And the Timberwolves did something that the Nuggets have not been able to do, and that's flip a switch. They were tired of getting pushed around in that first quarter. Anthony Edwards said, no, we're not going down like this, guys. Started going to the rim, changed the entire tone of that team, and changed the entire tone of that series in the second quarter of game two. If Denver loses this series, go back and look at quarter two, game two. That's when Minnesota made an adjustment. That's when they said, we are not going to be pushed around by this Nuggets team. I mean, Jaden McDaniels understands this rivalry. Jaden McDaniels is saying, something about playing the Nuggets really fires us up. Here he is.
Cam Johnson after their shooter.
So it's pretty cool. It's the last
one. Jaden, Cam Johnson after their shoot-around kind of mentioned, in regards to your comments that you guys have been talking all series, I mean, you're one of the better trash talkers on this team. Like, how much does that motivate you guys when you're talking and kind of backing it up?
I don't know. They're like, just playing Denver really motivates us. That's enough for real. Just playing against them, we don't really care what they say. Just the number and the name across their chest make us play like this.
It makes you wonder how good they're going to be beyond this series if they get past Denver. They treat Denver like Mike Shanahan treated the Raiders. Like they are going to beat the Raiders no matter what. That is the team I hate because Shanahan got fired from Oakland when they were Oakland. So we're going to beat them no matter what we do. And that I think that got, toward the end of Shanny's career, it kind of got old. Because it's like, yeah, they're going to beat the Raiders, but they're going to be 8-8.
Is this their championship?
Minnesota? Yeah, I don't. I mean, based on what I've seen, I don't think Minnesota could beat San Antonio. And if Denver somehow pulls this off, I think it's going to be a hard battle for Denver to beat. I got to see a completely different team. I have to see something. I didn't recognize what I saw last night. That didn't look right. At not one point in this game did I feel like a real run to cut this thing under 10 was going to happen in this basketball game. Did not feel like that was ever going to happen. And a lot of times I can say that with Denver, where I can go, all right, they're getting smoked by 20. Just a quick, I mean, they were down 12 in game one. Came back and won that game. That was not, I just didn't feel that last night. The offense was bad. You know, their defense gets called out, and their defense was still shoddy, and their offense was awful. So their response was, you thought our defense was bad. Wait till you see our offense in this game. Is that on the coach? Is that on the team leaders? I'm not going to sit here and say that's because Aaron Gordon was out. That's not, I mean, that hurts. But not to get smoked 25-11 after the first. You can't do it. So yeah, I'm disappointed, and I did not recognize that team last night. That was an imposter. And you can't be an imposter in game three. Down or tied series. They could have lost, and I still would have said, you know, they could have lost in a few different ways, and I could still come out here and find something to give me hope. Do I think Denver can beat Minnesota tomorrow night? It's possible. Does it feel like Minnesota could get a quick start tomorrow night, and then it just sucks the life out of Denver, and suddenly we're down 3-1, taking this series back to Denver? Yeah, I realistically could see all of that happening. Like my percentage of my belief that Denver can win tomorrow is outweighed by my belief that Denver could actually get blown out. I don't know. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. But I don't know where I am on whether or not this team can actually pull this off. Because that, whatever that was awful. I mean, that was one of the worst performances I've seen up and down the board. Offense, defense, special teams. Player from Joker on down. It was not good. And again, this is a compliment. Joker was bad, and he scored 27 points. But we're past that. We're past that now, right? He's a superstar. Superstars have bad games and still light up the scoreboard unlike anybody else. We're past it. He's got to be better. He's better than Rudy Gobert. He's owned Rudy Gobert. He owned him this season. Here's Rudy Gobert. He's given Joker a compliment, at least not trash talk. It was nice to hear. Here's Gobert on guarding Joker.
You have turned one of the most efficient players of all time into a very inefficient player so far. What has been your approach, and why do you think it's working so well so far?
Just try to compete, you know, just try to, like I said, you know, he's the greatest offensive player I've guarded in my whole career. So just try to enjoy the challenge and make him work as much as I can. And you know, and it's also a team effort. You know, we, my teammates, I feel like tonight, I mean, did a great job. Jaden, Dante, Ayo, and everyone that came, Julius, you know, everyone that came in the game just gave us something defensively. And then I just have to, yeah, just keep working, you know, keep competing, keep trying to make him earn everything he gets. You know, that's the biggest thing.
I mean, that's a 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, so there's still a compliment there on Joker. It's the best player he's ever went against, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year. Again, the 27 points are neat, but when you look at 7 of 26, it's not so neat. I mean, if they had any offense, it was Joker. And again, I can't walk away from that game and say, yeah, here's some positives. There were none. And that's disappointing. Because I want somebody to... They punched you in the mouth both on the floor and through the media. And you responded with that. You responded with a 25-11 first quarter. And yeah, like I said, everything else evened out, but you came out in such a bad way that Minnesota's confidence, and they controlled their confidence. Denver did the same thing to them in game two, but Denver completely lost control of a 19-point lead. Minnesota said, we're not doing that. We're staying locked in. I mean, you could see it on the bench. Anthony Edwards was locked in. He kept having to go to the locker room whenever he'd come out. I don't know what was going on, but clearly his knee's not right, but he's fighting through it. I don't know what's happening on our side with Peyton Watson. Is he just done? Is he not going to risk getting hurt more so it hurts his stock? Because he's got a contract coming up somewhere. But if he's hobbled, re-injures it, that's going to significantly lower that contract, I would imagine. He's young, though. It's not like anything he's going to sustain in this series unless, you know, barring something crazy. Nothing career-ending or something that's going to slow you down. Aaron Gordon, on the other hand, he could go out there and play on a bad hamstring and really jack it up and be done for his career. So where do you go from here? That was a bad night for the Nuggets. Flip side, the Avalanche got it done, and that was much needed. We'll get into some of that more on the Nuggets. We'll go heavy on response to the Nuggets losing to Minnesota. Also, the NFL draft was last night. There was a surprise pick in the first round, and there were a boatload of trades. So we got a lot to discuss. Short time to do it. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Can be heard right here.
Take me out to the ball game.
A Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Well, yeah, it's going to be all right, Mike, I think.
It will.
I don't know if it will be for the Nuggets, but...
I'm calling it. They're going to win the next three games.
I would give you a hug if that happens.
I don't want a hug. I want $100.
Oh, I'll give you $100 worth of hug.
That's... No.
The Avs were good, though. Kale McCarr got on the board.
It was a great goal.
It was a great goal. Still a grimy game. The Avs were up. What was it? Was it 3-1? And then the Kings pulled.
They were on a power play, pulled
their goalie, had 500 dudes on the ice, and were able to get one in. And then they pull their goalie again. Forsberg's just leaving the net, about gets to the bench, and Brock Nelson just pops one in. The Avs win 4-2. I did predict that. I said we were going to get -1.5 for the Avs and over 5.5 goals. So got that one right. Just didn't get the Nuggets -2.5.
I predicted 3-1. You should.
I didn't actually predict the score. I just said there'd be over 5.5 goals.
Okay, I predicted a score.
So you were wrong.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
I really thought Forsberg's goal was like quite incredible. Because it was completely accidental. Bounce off the board, right off the goalie's skate, Forsberg's skate, into the goal.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, the Avs handled their business, man.
I mean, they were, at some parts of the games, it seemed like they were outplayed by the Kings. I think like that the Nuggets. It felt like the Kings wanted it more.
That's how the Kings are, though, right? They just don't have the skill.
More talented.
The Avs just don't have the skill, or the Kings just don't have the skill. They can keep themselves in games. They can make it look appear as though they're controlling the game, but they just don't score. So the Avs are probably going to sweep this thing.
They played the Avs, you know, the best that a team can play against the Avalanche. And you know, the Stars are going to do the same thing, or Minnesota, if Minnesota wins. Everybody's going to kind of do the same thing, because that is what you do against the Avalanche. The Avalanche are too good for the Kings. They're up 3-0. I still say the Avs could lose tonight. Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, right?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
Could. I'll be interested to see what they do with the goalie. Is this an opportunity to put Blackwood in there just to get him a game? Get him a game just so he's still very much present in these playoffs, and you're up 3-0, so... But you might just go with Wedgwood and reserve Blackwood. So if you have a dogfight of a series, which we anticipate coming up in the second round, whether it's the Stars or the Wild.
If it's the Wild, I think it goes. If it's the Wild, whether it's the Wild or the Stars, I think it goes 7 games.
Could very well happen. Beginner's luck texting in on the First Advantage text line. It's 5-on-2 over. More offensive help needed. Wolves are fully bought in. Nugs on either end. I'd sit Joker and let the rest figure it out, like when he was hurt, depend on each other and have an offense that works together. You'd sit Joker for what? The game? Faith says Nuggets made me more mad than sad. It's one thing if there is some fight and they lose, still not, but there was zero urgency or fight in that game and zero fire. I think Adelman made me the most mad. I don't know how he is in the locker room, but he is just too soft for me. Light a fire under your team and let us see that you care. He's just not a, you know, Malone on the bench looked so damn. Early in Malone's career, he was fiery as hell. You remember? He'd play defense on the sideline. Then later in his career, he just looked like he was ready to have a cold one. Like, he just looked stressed out of his mind. Adelman has not developed. He's a young coach, guys. I mean, he's a rookie coach. So I don't know if he's developed his personality as a head coach just yet, or maybe this is who he is. But, I told you, if they lose Game 3, especially if they lose it badly, it's going to change the narrative of our conversation. We're not just talking about what's going to happen in Game 4. We're not just talking about what's going to happen in the series. We're talking about what's going to happen with this team long term. And, yeah, they got a title out of it, but there is a sense today that that was it. You know, they got that championship with that group. Now it's time to reset. And if we're having reset conversations, let me be clear. Joker is untouchable. Like, there, I see crazy people posting on X, and it's like, oh yeah, everyone's on the chopping block at this point. Then you start for your go. You start over. Then you start over, and Adam Silver, you'll be in Adam Silver sights because the Nuggets will be tanking again. I'm not ready to go back to that world while you still have the best player that's ever done it in a Nuggets uniform. So I think that that is extremely, I think it's disrespectful. I think it's idiotic. And if you are anywhere near that world of, yeah, the Nuggets need to reset and everyone is on the chopping block. If the Nuggets reset, they just have to rethink how they're doing things. Can you get a coach in there that can utilize Joker's talents more than what we're seeing with Adelman right now? That would be my question. I'm not saying Adelman should be on the chopping block, but clearly this plan, I don't understand their identity. I don't understand Denver's identity. They got the two-man game with Joker and Jamal, and they got Joker go one-on-one, take down their best center, and then when you do that, you're going to get doubled, and then Joker just spiderweb it and pass around like crazy. That's your strategy. If Joker can't beat his guy, like he wasn't really beating Rudy Gobert, then that shuts off every channel. Everything that you do that works goes bye-bye. And that's a risky way to live.
You could trade McCarr. You could trade McKinnon. You could trade Bonix. You could trade the entire Rockies franchise before you could trade Jokic.
McKinnon and McCarr are probably pretty close up there. But Joker's as untouchable as you can get.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, he is the Denver Nuggets right now. The Denver Nuggets don't go to the playoffs without Joker.
They're not a playoff team. They're not a championship team. They're not anything. I mean, Smitty, listen, I'm not trying to fight. I agree with what you're saying about Jamal. I'm just saying that a lot of wins that they have are when Jamal Murray is a difference maker. The frustrating part about Jamal is he's not always a difference maker. I put more pressure on Jamal than I do anybody else on this team because I always thought he could be one of the best point guards in the league. He's a traditional, you know, in Kentucky, he was a two. But I think he could be one of the best guards in the league. He just has never really lived up to that. And this year, it looked like that was going to be, oh, it's not going to be playoff Murray anymore. It's going to be all-season Murray. And it was all-season, and now we're not seeing playoff Murray. Faith, oh, you're talking about the Joker thing. When you have a player grabbing the clipboard to draw up plays, it kind of poses the question as to why is the coach there? I just need to see a want to continue on, and last night wasn't it. Well, and Joker's been doing that. He, you know, he did it with Malone, too. He would draw up plays and all that stuff. I don't know if Adelman's the problem. But guys I thought before this series, Michael, that would step up, Cameron Johnson. Not good. Not as good as MPJ. Still liked the trade because of the depth. Christian Brown, we talked about it. Not living up to his contract. Spencer Jones, fun story. Not sure he can do it in the playoffs. Zeke Nagy, Tim Hardaway Jr. was off. Bruce Brown didn't have a nice, didn't have a good game. Man, he missed so many easy shots. He was getting to the rim like he does. With the best version of Bruce Brown gets to the rim, he just couldn't make it. Yes, Michael.
So I don't like that point about Jokic drawing up the plays because Michael Jordan would ignore Phil Jackson's orders. Phil Jackson would say, okay, Jordan, pass it to this guy. Jordan wouldn't do that. Jordan would shoot it.
Well, with Joker drawing up plays, I mean, he's coming up with stuff that he sees on the floor that a head coach is just not capable of seeing. So I don't hate it. I just, this was the concern about replacing Malone, a veteran coach, with a rookie coach. Was that the move? And I thought Adelman earned the shot, but I don't think he's safe just because he's a rookie coach. He could very well be a one and done guy.
I think he's safe. I think you give him 3 years.
I don't know, man.
Two at the least.
But
two more years. They regress next year.
2 more years, and Joker's another 2 years older. You know, do you believe somebody, a veteran coach, can come in and get more? I don't know.
Is there a better coach out there
than David Adelman today? Yeah, there are. We can get into that. Guys that might be available. Steve Kerr's probably not going to be in Golden State for long. He might restart. There's other guys out there. Van Gundy's out there.
I mean, I would pick up Steve Kerr. I'd fire Adelman and get Steve Kerr if I thought he could, you know, vibe with Jokic.
Go Pokes texting in, wellness check on my friend. Are you all good, bro? I know how much you bleed Nuggets. I do. I bleed our teams, and I bleed the Nuggets more. Yeah,
he
probably
Nuggets
more.
Coming out of his nose right now.
It ain't good. It's not an attractive sight, Mike. 45 minutes after the hour, we got to jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
I want that to give me goosebumps, and maybe that's what's going on with the Nuggets mentality, but
they're not giving up.
I don't know.
Winning the next 3 games.
Maybe. Mike, we're behind in the clock here. Hey, Lemons Heating and Cooling. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning. You're not going to need the heater, but air conditioning is going to be an issue if it's not running right. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll give you, they got free estimates available. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Coming up in the next hour, we got top stories of the day. Is one coach not particularly happy about the surprise pick in the draft? We'll get into that a little bit more. It's The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into The Whole Show. More Nuggets, Timberwolves reaction. We'll get into that stuff from the NFL and the first round of the draft. We got day two coming up, Mike, and the Broncos should and will probably be a participant. Eli Stowers, the Vanderbilt tight end, is still available. Will there be a realistic shot for him all the way down to where the Broncos pick today in the second round?
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
It's a bold one, guys. They are not going to pick a quarterback.
That's probably safe.
Pretty bold.
But would
huh?
you have predicted the Rams to pick a quarterback yesterday?
I mean, their quarterback's old.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right. Remember when Aaron Rodgers complained?
No, Matt Stafford's already having kind of those thoughts on whether or not he's going to, you know, at least the conversation's coming up. Was Sean McVay happy about the pick, though? We'll get into it. Coming up next in the 12 o'clock hour of The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.